It's quite a milestone in our time that America is now experiencing its 250th birthday. What do we celebrate at that time? Well, we celebrate the fact that the founding fathers accepted, by voice vote, the final wording of the Declaration of Independence, which says that our rights come from the Creator. Do God-given rights make a difference for a nation? We're going to explore that right now with Stephen McDowell. Stephen McDowell is an author. He's also the co-founder of something called Providence Foundation. And that's not to be confused with Providence Forum, for which I'm privileged to be the executive director. That was founded by Peter Lilbeck. But going back to Stephen McDowell, he has written many books. He's also made different videos, and he's also leads tours about America's Christian roots. And he's extremely well informed on this subject, as you'll see in a moment. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Stephen, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Jerry.
Okay. Now, some people on the left, or even some Americans in the mushy middle, if you want to, say, look, words about God, you know, even, you know, people who will swear in and they'll say, so help me God, but they don't really believe in God, or their actions don't seem to demonstrate that fact. Anyway, when the founders said, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Did they really mean those very words, God-given rights?
Well, they certainly did mean it, and that's one unique thing about the foundation of America, and is the reason we've lasted for 250 years, because their founders recognize that our rights are not given by government. They're not created by man or a group of men who, in their great benevolence, will let the common peon have a few of these rights. Because, you know, if government grants rights, government can take away our rights. But our rights are inalienable, as our Declaration recognizes. And what that means is that no one can take them away from you. In fact, you can't even give them up. They're inalienable because God, the Creator of all things, the source of all law, the Supreme Almighty One, He is the one who has revealed to man, here is how my universe functions, which is a reflection of my nature and character, and that you need to recognize that you as individuals are created in my image. That gives you great value, because we all have equal standing before the law of God, both redeemed and non-redeemed, and I have granted to you certain rights that emanate from me, that we have a God-given, of course, the Declaration summarized by the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The well-known phrase that John Locke and many others wrote about was life, liberty, and property. And there's a whole lot in these right to life, right to liberty, right to property. These are all biblical rights. Many scriptures point to this truth. But so we have a God-given right to life. We have a God-given right to liberty. We have a God-given right to property. And the phrase pursuit of happiness incorporates the concept of property, that, as William Blackstone defines the pursuit of happiness, he defines it as pursuit of doing the will of God. In other words, we have a right and freedom to do the will of God. That's what governments exist, to enable us to perform the will of God. And if they're not doing that, we need to change them. So our rights, and our founders believe this firmly, and that's why it's written in our founding covenant and in all of the 100-plus constitutions, compacts, and charters written before the Declaration, that they recognized that uniqueness of man created the image of God. And because of that, we have great value. And because of that, there are certain rights and liberties that we possess.
You know, it's interesting. I've heard some politicians on the left who've taken umbrage with statements along the lines of what you just said. or what I said earlier. For example, Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House, he is in the Christian tradition. He has mentioned, you know, these very types of things, that our rights come from God, and that's what our founders recognize. And then, you know, some of these politicians say, oh, you mean the Speaker of the House is saying that our rights don't come from the government? Wow, what a Christian nationalist. He's out of step with the, you know, with our history and with, you know, what America stands for. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that is an astounding statement, isn't it? You just need to remind those people, have you not read the Declaration of Independence? It's our founding covenant. It specifically acknowledges that. But, you know, the secularists, like those people who would attack Speaker Johnson, they believe it. They believe that man is the ultimate source of what's right and wrong. You know, the founders had a biblical view of law. William Blackstone defines a biblical view of law.
Okay, you refer to him a couple times. Could you please define who, you know, tell us who he was?
William Blackstone was an English jurist. He wrote the Commentaries of the Laws of England, first published in 1748. Every lawyer in the English-speaking world, and others as well, for 150 years would study Blackstone's Commentaries of the Laws of England. So he talks about, you know, where did England get its laws? What are its unique laws? A whole lot of things. But he, you know, talks about the understanding of the source of law. And he declares any law that's contrary to God's higher law is no law at all. In fact, he writes in his commentaries, man considered as a creature must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator. See, God is the ultimate authority, therefore we're subject to his laws, is what he's saying. Upon these two foundations, the law of nature and the law of revelation, Jefferson used the phrase the law of nature, nature's God, it's the same thing, but the law of nature and the law of revelation, what he meant, Blackstone meant, Jefferson meant, it's well defined, the law of nature is the revelation of God in his creation and in the conscience of man. The law of revelation, or the law of nature's God, is the specific revelation of God in the Holy Scriptures. That's what that phrase meant when Jefferson used it. So Blackstone writes that the law of nature and the law of revelation, upon those two foundations, depend all human laws. That is to say, no human law should be suffered to contradict these. So he had a biblical view of law. Any law contrary to God's higher law is no law at all. Now, the modern secularists, those who would attack Speaker Johnson, they believe law did not emanate from a creator, but it emanated from men. And in fact, the French Declaration of Rights, written in 1794, presented a secular view of law, saying this: the law is the expression of the general will. The rights of man rests on the national sovereignty. This sovereignty resides essentially in the whole people. So they're saying this is not the view that Blackstone and American founders had. Their view is that the law comes from man. It's an expression of the will of man, the consensus of man. He's the one that decides what's right and wrong, lawful or unlawful, moral or immoral, that this resides in the people. So what they're saying is the people are really the ultimate source of authority for mankind. You know, a fundamental question every society should be asking, and none are, is who is the source of law of our society? This is a fundamental question because the source of law of a society is the God of that society. It's who a people look to that they consider to be ultimate. Who will decide what is right and wrong behavior for mankind? Who will decide what is moral and immoral behavior? To secular man, ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, he has looked to himself. We will decide. Or it might be the consensus of man. It might be one ruler. It might be a select few smart people who went to Harvard or something. This is what man declares. We are our own God. We are our own source of law. Founders had a biblical view of law and government, rejected that and recognized, no, the creator of all things, God himself, the living God of the Bible, he is the one, as the creator, who has the authority to determine what is right and wrong, what is lawful and unlawful, and they acknowledge this. This, by the way, is a tremendous argument to show America was founded as a Christian nation. That is, it was founded upon biblical principles that acknowledge the sovereignty of the Creator as He reveals Himself in the Holy Scriptures. So yes, the secularists believe man is the source of law. And when man in America, 100 years, we've been putting aside this biblical view of law and embracing this man-centered view of law. And as we've done that, we have seen all manner of problems, all illogical action of men, of embracing behavior that is destructive to mankind, and many, many other things, because we've rejected any absolutes, really, is what we've done. We've declared, we don't believe in the absolutes of God. We will decide what's right and wrong, and it might change as a majority of people change, and that there's no freedom to live in a society where, what's lawful might change tomorrow. And if you're outside what somebody decrees is lawful, you're going to be in big trouble.
All right. We only have 3 minutes left. Hard to believe it. This is fantastic stuff that you're giving us. Okay. The French Revolution, you mentioned that. How did that work out for them? How did the Bolshevik and the Chinese Communists and all the other communist revolutions, how did that work out? And in the meantime, take us up to modern America. We have some recent politicians who are winning that are quote-unquote social democrats, but in reality, if you just dig a little bit deeper, they're out-and-out communists. I thought communism didn't work. It failed everywhere. Have I missed something? 2.5 minutes left. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you're right. Communism has failed everywhere it's tried. You know, communism is a form of statism. Statism is the belief that the ultimate authority in the earth is man, and it's usually man via the state. Communism, socialism, democratic socialism, Marxism, these are various forms of statism. And every nation that has historically or currently is...
By the way, you define it, certainly Nazi Germany would fit that bill. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Nazism is a form of statism, but it never works. It doesn't work today in North Korea, in Cuba, in Venezuela. It didn't work in communist Russia or China. It does not produce good fruit because it's contrary to the law of the Creator. It's contrary to how God created His moral universe to function. Anytime you act contrary to what's right and true, there are serious consequences, whether you violate the physical laws or you violate his moral laws. And so, yes, lots of people, unfortunately, are embracing communism, socialism. I think the latest poll, young Americans, there's like more than half of young Americans believe socialism is the way that we should live. And we see these people electing communist mayors in New York City and other places. But we already see the bad fruit because their ideas don't work. They're contrary to the Creator. They're contrary to our founding documents and covenants. They will not work. I asked people question, in Venezuela, since Chavez was elected in 1998 and he embraced these socialistic principles, he ran 5 million people out of his country. He's brought poverty to what used to be the second most prosperous nation in the
20 seconds left
America. And now it's the second poorest next to Haiti because the ideas don't work. And so people are starving under socialism. The average Venezuelan lost over 10 kilograms of weight because they can't get enough food to eat. And I like to ask them, well, why? Why is the people starving? Why are they fleeing the country? Why is there no liberty? And the answer is because we live in God's world. We do not live in the made-up world of Karl Marx, Marxism, all forms of communism. This is not how the world functions. And if you try to live in accordance with these false principles, you're going to get poverty and demise in every way imaginable.
Stephen, we're out of time. Thank you so much. The website for Stephen McDowell is providencefoundation.com.